evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dave Driscoll speaking from the transmitter of frequency modulation station W71NY, owned and operated by WOR, the Bamberger Broadcasting Service. Tonight marks a new chapter in the history of frequency modulation broadcasting as we proudly and respectfully dedicate W71NY's new 10,000-watt transmitter. We dedicate it to you, the American radio audience. This dedicatory broadcast, which is being carried over the largest network of FM stations ever assembled, will be highlighted by an attempt to transmit program material from our studios to this transmitter by means of a light beam. We shall also hear from Mr. T.C. Stribert, Vice President and General Manager of WOR, and Mr. J.R. Popoli, Chief Engineer. Those other stations carrying this broadcast by means of direct relay and without the use of the conventional radio wire lines are W2XMN, Alpine, New Jersey, W65H, Hartford, W43B, Boston, W53PH, Philadelphia, W39B, Mount Washington, and W47A, Schenectady, New York. We might tell you that we're broadcasting from the actual transmitter room, and the noises that you hear in the background are caused by the informal moving about of our invited guests. I'd like to tell you a little bit about this transmitter, but it's difficult to describe a modern radio transmitter such as this. To the layman, it merely looks like a simple set of panels with the usual number of dials and gadgets. But to the engineer who understands, it is perfection itself. It is the product of engineering genius. Now, I should like to introduce some of our invited guests here tonight. But first of all, I have a telegram to read addressed to the president of WOR, Mr. Alfred J. McCosker, who cannot be with us tonight because of his presence in Chicago. The first wire is from Governor Herbert H. Lehman of New York. Please accept my heartiest congratulations upon the dedication of W71NY's new 10,000-watt transmitter. Now that WOR has become a pioneer in the field of frequency modulation broadcasting, listeners in the state of New York may look forward to even greater enjoyment and public service brought to them through this new medium. The second wire is from Governor Charles Edison of New Jersey. Congratulations to you and WOR on your important new contribution both to the radio industry and to radio listeners by pioneering in the field of frequency modulation broadcasting. We also have a wire from the Honorable James Lawrence Fly, Chairman of the Federal Communications Commission. The dedication of FM station W71NY marks one more stage in the growth of frequency modulation from a mere idea in the mind of its inventor to a commonplace in our American homes. Indeed, FM now grows like a snowball. Each new FM transmitter causes many listeners to procure FM receivers, and the presence of such receivers determines others to open additional FM transmitters. Thus, there is brought to additional thousands each week the three basic advantages of FM: faithful reproduction of high and low as well as intermediate tones, reception substantially free from distracting noise or interference, and a larger choice of programs by reason of the additional stations for which there is now room on the FM band. W71NY is associated with standard broadcast station WOR and should benefit from the availability of WOR's facilities. However, it is not the intention that FM shall merely duplicate programs available on standard broadcast stations. Federal Communications Commission rules provide that at least a portion of each broadcast day shall be devoted to program material especially suited for FM's high-fidelity characteristics. There is thus opportunity for much pioneering in the preparation of FM programs, an opportunity which W71NY is now enabled to share. I know that listeners in its service area will appreciate this added service and will welcome this newest commercial FM station. Signed, James Lawrence Fly, Chairman, Federal Communications Commission. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your wires. We would also like now to read a wire from the president of WOR, who, as we said, could not be with us tonight. The wire is from Mr. Alfred J. McCosker and reads, and I quote, "I'm sorry I cannot address you personally tonight, for I feel that we have in the W71NY audience thousands of new friends of WOR. WOR's family has grown tremendously in size since that day almost 20 years ago when it was placed in operation. Frequency modulation has opened up entirely new fields for us and for you. Like its parent station, W71NY is dedicated to you and to public service. We shall serve you faithfully." Signed, Alfred J. McCosker. It is now with a great deal of pleasure that I introduce WOR's chief engineer, Mr. J.R. Popoli, whose name is included in the list of frequency modulation pioneers. Mr. Popoli.
Thank you, Dave. The dedication of WN71NY's new transmitter tonight is an event of particular pride to the entire engineering staff of WOR. We are proud to know that we have again upheld WOR's reputation of being a leader in the broadcasting field, a reputation gained in almost 20 years of broadcasting existence by an endless desire to bring our listeners better tonal reproduction, better reception, and always better programs. Tonight, W71NY, New York's first commercial FM station, increases its power to cover the entire New York service area of 8,500 square miles, assigned to it and all other local FM stations by the Federal Communications Commission. The pure tonal quality and noise-free reception afforded by W71NY and the frequency modulation system of broadcasting will now be available to approximately 12 million persons living within the 52-mile radius served by W71NY. It has been almost 2 years now since WOR first placed a low-power experimental FM transmitter on the air and began to investigate the potentialities of frequency modulation. In so doing, our engineering staff helped pioneer the new field. We offer tonight the culmination of our experience, a new high-power FM transmitter which will give the public better reception and better service, the two outstanding goals of WOR since February 1922, when we put our first weak voice on the air from Newark, New Jersey. FM is the radio of tomorrow. Tomorrow has become today, and WOR once again takes pride, not just in keeping up with progress, but in helping to make progress itself. Thank you. Dave, I'd like to read a telegram that I've just received from Major Armstrong, the inventor of FM. He says, "It is with great regret that I find myself engaged in work in Washington, which prevents me from attending your dedication tonight. I am sorry to lose the opportunity to deliver personally a message to FM listeners over the largest network of frequency modulation stations yet linked up. But I am more than sorry to lose the opportunity of paying personal tribute to those who have pioneered in this new system. Signed, Edwin H. Armstrong."
Thank you very much. We are pleased to have with us tonight Mr. Theodore C. Streibert, Vice President and General Manager of WOR, who also was among the first to foster the development and growth of frequency modulation. Mr. Streibert.
Thank you, Dave. For those of us who have watched frequency modulation develop from its inception, this dedication of W71NY's powerful new 10,000-watt voice is a thrilling experience. I'm sure that most of you listening are familiar with the technical qualities of frequency modulation. But FM and its service to the public transcends engineering qualities alone, for FM opens up a tremendous new store of programs which listeners would not otherwise hear. In the case of W71NY, 30% of its broadcasting time is devoted to programs of the Mutual Network not heard over WOR because of lack of available time in which to broadcast them. Only 6% of W71NY's programs duplicate those of WOR. The remainder of the station's schedule consists of its own originations, both live and transcribed. When all of the New York City FM stations are operating on a full-time basis, there will be an increase of as much as 50% in the number of new programs available to listeners in this area. WOR has been a pioneer since 1922 when it first went on the air. And now, in furthering the success of FM through W71NY, we believe we are again pioneering. If we want to stretch our imagination towards the horizon of FM's future, it is possible to foresee a day when radio broadcasting over FM may be a day of specialized stations, each devoting itself to a different phase of programming. There may be one station broadcasting only classical music, another specializing in sports, still another transmitting only news. Whether this will materialize, and if so, when, no one can say for certain, I'm sure. In the meantime, those of us who are operating FM stations today are striving to give our listeners well-rounded programs and programs that will best demonstrate the characteristics of this new phase of radio broadcasting. I don't believe we are going to do away with standard broadcast stations as we know them today, at least not for a very long time. But it would not be consistent with the progress of the radio industry nor with WOR's philosophy of operation, not to encourage and attempt to lead in this latest technical development. Our primary concern is our service to our listeners, and we will present to them the best form of broadcasting as soon as it's available. Most important is the fact that we are broadcasting to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity, and we will continue to broadcast according to these standards. To our listeners, old and new, thank you for being with us tonight. To those FM stations that have linked up with us and have done us the honor of saluting W71NY, a hearty thank you on behalf of the entire staff of W71NY and WOR. We wish you the very same success in your pioneering efforts you've been gracious enough to wish us. There's a lot more to come on this dedication evening program. The brilliant music of Russell Bennett at 9 o'clock as he traces in a special program the musical history of sound transmission. This and a host of other features still to follow. We hope you are enjoying this gala evening, but we hope at the same time that you will continue to enjoy the day-by-day programs of 71NY. Rapidly as we are growing, we are never too big, nor will we ever be, to look forward to your reactions and helpful suggestions as to the service we are giving you. We invite your comments and your helpful criticisms. This is your station, operated in your interest. Thank you again. Good night.
Another guest we have with us tonight is Mr. Samuel R. Rosenbaum, president of the WFIL Broadcasting Company, which operates WFIL and W53PH in Philadelphia. Mr. Rosenbaum?
When rails were first laid in the streets of Philadelphia for the first horse-drawn streetcars in 1854, there was great opposition from the conservative, quiet-loving citizens. Some churches actually stretched chains across the street to stop the horse cars on the ground. They were too fast and they were a peril to life and limb. Every new application of scientific progress has to overcome such fixed habits and vested interests. But nothing can stop progress. This FM network that is operating tonight is free from many of the shackles that limit the operation of networks in the standard band. In many respects, it is not earthbound. This very freedom is a challenge to broadcasters to show the world what we can do. Philadelphia will do its share.
Thank you very much, sir. I would now like to introduce Mr. C.R. Runyon, Jr., an associate of Major Edwin H. Armstrong.
Thank you. And here is the message from Major Armstrong. At a time like this, one is bound to think back over the years, and events and associations of the past come vividly to mind. In the early days of this FM development, I remember suspending work one evening in the laboratory at Columbia University to listen to the dedication of WOR's 50-kilowatt station, which most of you know now so well. That was on March 4th, 1935, and I remember well the tribute then paid to Jack Popley, chief engineer. Now it is my privilege to pay tribute to him and to the forward-looking owners of WOR for that inspiration which has resulted in the first commercial FM service in New York. I wish I could also pay tribute at this time to each of the individuals who have helped to bring FM to where it is today, but time does not permit. I can best express it in this way: to the countless improvements made through the work of those associated with me in the laboratory at Columbia University and at the Alpine, New Jersey transmitter, to the work of the adventurous spirits among the broadcasters with their mountaintop stations, to the developers of high-quality transmitting equipment among the transmitter manufacturers, and to the developers and manufacturers of equally good receiving equipment goes the credit for making FM what it is today. They can look at the results of their work with confidence, certain in the belief that the future will show that they have built it better than they knew, and certain in the knowledge that their position in the history of this new era of broadcasting is secure. And one last word to those on the other end of this chain, on that windswept mountaintop, Mount Washington, at the FM station, which is a monument to the engineering genius of Paul DeMars and the courage of the Yankee network. And now, good night, good luck, and best wishes to W71NY. This message is signed, Edwin H. Armstrong.
Thank you very much, Mr. Runyon. And now we hope to bring our listeners a demonstration of the transmission of sound by means of a beam of light rather than by the use of the usual wire line. In just a moment, we will begin to transmit music from our studios at 1440 Broadway, approximately 4,000 feet away, over this beam, which has been aimed by telescopic sight at a photoelectric cell alongside this transmitter. Developed by the Western Union Telegraph Company, this beam carries signal impulses by light vibrations introduced by a mechanical shutter at the transmitter's source. It thus functions in much the same manner as the soundtrack in talking films, the exception being that there's no permanent record of the light undulations. The photoelectric cell at this end reconverts the light into sound to be fed into the broadcast transmitter. To the layman, the principle is reminiscent of the photoelectric cell that automatically opens and closes doors when a shadow breaks the beam. Western Union has spent much time in developing this equipment, and it is believed it may have considerable defense or military value because the sound cannot be intercepted without detection. Representatives of both the Army and the Navy will watch this demonstration with interest tonight. Those in attendance are Lieutenant Frank Buckley, Acting Public Relations Officer of the 3rd Naval District, Commander N.B. Arnold and Lieutenant Commander W.C. Freeman, Communications Officer and Assistant Communications Officer, respectively, of the 3rd Naval District, and from the Army, Lieutenant Colonel R.C. Montgomery, Chief of the Army Information Service for the 2nd Corps area, as well as Colonel George P. Dixon, the Chief Signal Officer of the 2nd Corps area. So then, I'm now going to ask our engineers to begin transmitting the music of an electrical transcription over the light beam for a distance of 4,000 feet. Naturally, you will note the quality will not be perfect. Now then, I'll pass my hand through the beam of light, breaking the circuit. You'll note that the music has ceased. Now, as I take my hand away, the music resumes. We shall no doubt hear more about this equipment in the days to come. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've concluded this special dedicatory broadcast from the transmitter of W71NY, WOR's frequency modulation station in New York. In the future, new ideas will be incorporated into our operations as fast as they are developed so that you, the listener, may have the finest in broadcasting service. Dave Driscoll speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.